Morning.
Well, I'm going to share something with you here this morning. Well, we're going to finish this series this morning. It's entitled The Spirit of Tolerance. Who knows how to get saved here? How do you get saved? And then when you do that, what happens? What does that mean?
You receive the Holy Spirit.
You have what kind of life?
Eternal life.
When do you get that eternal life?
Right then and there.
Can it be lost?
No. You're sealed.
You're sealed. That's what it says in Ephesians. Very good, young lady. So when you get born again, you get what kind of life?
Eternal life.
And you're sealed, right?
Yes.
Right.
And you get that eternal life when?
The moment that you speak it.
The main moment that you get born again, right?
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any more that comes after that as far as eternal life?
No.
Yeah, you're whole. I mean, but as far as your eternal life goes, that's it, right? And you don't have to go there. Just listen. Revelation 2:7 says, "He that has ear to listen, hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Is that how you get born again? Right? So that can't be talking to you, can it?
No.
Because you get born again, you get eternal life when you confess the Lord Jesus and believe God raised him from the dead, right?
Right.
But here it says you got to overcome in order to eat from the tree of life. Do you have to overcome in order to get your salvation?
No.
Who overcame for you?
Jesus.
Right. Ain't that simple? Sure it is. You don't receive your salvation by eating anything. You receive your salvation because of Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you different. And it's eternal life. Just another point to show that the book of Revelation is not written to the church of God. Up on the monitor, you see the Spirit of Tolerance, part 3. That's where we're at today. And we're going to endeavor to give you an answer to this morning. In part 1 of this series, we saw how the devil took the word tolerance, he redefined it, and then he reintroduced it. And the word tolerance, as it's known today in our country and what's being taught to our children, means all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. That's what they teach your children. That's what they say in the country. That's what they teach in every major campus, college campus in America. And this whole definition is around the world. We saw that denying that definition, if you don't subscribe to that definition, if you don't believe it, makes a person intolerant and thus worthy of contempt. I gave you some examples. One of the examples I gave you was Texas University, where Michael Dinn, professor of biology, said that he would not recommend any student for medical school if they did not believe and confess in the whole theory of evolution. And when Dinn said that, his university backed him up on the grounds of academic freedom. How would you like to be put up against a wall if you spent all those years and you're a Christian and you want to go on to medical school and your professor says, "I will not give you a letter of recommendation unless you say this"? That's tolerance. We looked at a group called Toleration in Sydney, Australia, where at first, by the simple name of the group, it seemed to be fair because they stated that they want to be tolerant of everyone's beliefs. But in the first page of the pamphlet they printed, they said, "We want to be tolerant of everyone's beliefs, But we are intolerant of the Christian beliefs and Christian beliefs and absolutes, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. That was on the first page of their pamphlet. In part two of this series, we began to look at the doctrine of God's Word and how to handle division that pops up in the church. We then looked at 1 John, where I taught you about the spirit of Antichrist in the church and how that spirit works. We saw that the spirit of tolerance softens up a person. It's like the first assault, second assault, before the spirit of error and the spirit of Antichrist enters into that person. And it erodes the word in the church. And you always have to remember that's what the devil's after. He's after the word of God. He's been after the word of God ever since the beginning. And he erodes the word in the church because he erodes the minds of those people that teach God's word and that people trust. And then we looked at some current examples of the spirit of Antichrist working in the church. One of those examples I gave you was the presiding bishop, Reverend Catherine Jeffords Schori, that's how it's getting pronounced this morning, who said, Jesus is not the only way to God. She said, Jesus is a way, but not the only way to salvation. And she's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. She also stated that she would never tell a Muslim that they needed to convert in order to be saved. That's the kind of stuff that's coming from the top of the church down through the pulpit. New Jersey, as Charles was talking about this morning, Rider University in Lawrenceville, is refusing to host the popular fast food chain Chick-fil-A because college has no tolerance for Chick-fil-A's values. And a dean at Rider University in New Jersey resigned her post over that because of the decision not to allow noted homophobic fast food chain Chick-fil-A on campus. Cynthia Newman, Dean of College of Business Administration, abruptly stepped down from her role, citing feelings of personal attack, and she says there were many other personal attacks against Christians. Chick-fil-A was banned from an airport over alleged legacy of anti-LGBTQ behavior. No Chick-fil-A, just burgers. And that's who's making fun of everything. The San Antonio City Council has rejected the inclusion of Chick-fil-A from a new food, beverage, and retail prime concession agreement for the San Antonio International Airport. The city has banned the chicken chain from setting up shop in the airport due to the company's alleged anti-LGBTQ policy. The day before the vote was taken, Think Progress, which is an LGBTQ friend, published tax documents revealing that in 2017, the Chick-fil-A Foundation gave over $1.8 million in charitable donations to some organizations that have come under scrutiny regarding their stance on LGBTQ issues. Over $1.65 million of that contribution was given to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which writes in an online statement of faith, how dare them, that it believes marriage is exclusively the union of one man and one woman, and believes sexual intimacy should only be expressed within that context. See? And because they gave of their money to an organization that they believe in, they turn around and they're punished because they're intolerant. Because that's what the whole movement is moving towards. With the decision, the city council reaffirmed the work our city has done to become a champion of equality and inclusion. Now, what's wrong with that statement? Huh? They have become a champion of equality and inclusion, right? Councilman Roberto Tevenino said of the vote, as per News 4 San Antonio, San Antonio is a city full of compassion, and we do not have room in our public facilities for a business with a legacy of anti-LGBTQ behaviors. So there you go. Like I pointed out to my wife, look at the size of those butts. Next. Plans for a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Buffalo, Niagara Airport, International Airport in New York were nixed last week, a New York State lawmaker said. Always a Democrat. How about that? Democrat Assemblyman Sean Ryan of Buffalo said the airport's food vendor notified them that they would not add Chick-fil-A restaurant to the food court. Ryan applauded the decision, saying that the owners of the fast food chain have a history of supporting and funding anti-LGBTQ organizations. You see? Now, what right do they have to try to put a business out of business? See, it's tolerance. It's a spirit of tolerance. It's a spirit of tolerance that's pervasive in this country. This is a present-day lie fostered by the spirit of tolerance. Chick-fil-A doesn't support anything anti. They support their belief in what the Bible teaches, and so should you. You see, because what the spirit of tolerance is after is that. Yep. They do not want God or God's word in our country. Anyone who subscribes to the current doctrine of tolerance, diversity, inclusion, and the like is deceived by the devil. You got to use your brain. And some will even begin to preach this doctrine of compromise, and you know what they'll put it under the heading? They'll put it under the heading of love. That we could all just get along. Ain't he a cute dragon? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is talking about believers, because you can't depart from the faith if you never had the faith. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's where you're at today. The government is pointing one way, and God is pointing another way. And it's very clear. And what you don't want to do is this. You stay with this. And this is not difficult, okay? This is very simple. When the world gets a hold of a doctrine that God makes very simple in here, the world has to confuse it and then spit it back to you. And the world takes it, and they'll make a simple statement like Adam and Eve, one man and one woman, and they'll write reams and reams and reams of paper, thousands and thousands of pages. And by the time you get done reading that junk, you won't know, you won't even know why you started to read it. That's the way the world works. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the writing, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is through faith which is in who? Christ. Not by overcoming. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, in this session, I want to offer an alternative to the lie of tolerance. And the answer to that, quite simply, is the truth of God's word. The Bible in basic English writes of translates Psalms 12:6, "The words of the Lord are true words, like silver tested by fire and burned clean seven times." Man's word is not pure words. Man's word hasn't been tested and man's word hasn't been tried. Only God's word is. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Not any word of government, not any word of anybody. The Bible is true. The word is true. If I speak the word, then I'm going to speak the truth. If I don't speak the word, then it could be right or wrong. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 says, "If you so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in" who?
Jesus.
It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Don't ever get intimidated by these blowhards that sit in teaching seats and got PhDs. Now, if those guys are on the Word of God, God bless them. But don't ever get intimidated that you are less, because one man with a Bible is smarter than all of them PhDs put together. Let me tell you that. I had to learn that the hard way. You listen to those PhD idiots, they'll take you right down the rabbit hole. You take the Bible, you listen to the Word of God, you're 12 times, 1,000 times smarter than them guys. John chapter 8, verse 40 says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." See? And you have to understand this. They may not seek to kill you, but they will sure as heck try to kill you with words. You cannot be weak and be an effective Christian in today's environment, because today's environment is hostile towards God. Now, that doesn't mean you go around picking on people and fighting with people, but it means that you have to learn to speak the truth, and you have to learn that you're not going to be received very happily sometimes. Sometimes you will. You know? But look at what they did to Jesus Christ. They want to silence the Christian today. You can't let them do that. A man that has told you the truth. Pursuing the truth in this context means countering the new doctrine of tolerance. And that's what I'm going to go into now. How do we approach, how do we address, how do we counter this doctrine of tolerance? It means that we teach our children to embrace all people, but not all beliefs. You're not mean to people. You love people. God so loved the what?
Wow.
See? But that doesn't mean you have to embrace their belief. It means showing them how to listen and learn from all people without necessarily agreeing with them. My dad was a bartender. One of the things he taught me, amongst others, he said, "You can learn from a drunk." This is the way he explained it to me. He says, "You listen to what they say. You let it go in this ear." He says, "Anything good, you keep it here. Anything bad, you let it go clean out the other ear." That's what he taught me. It means showing that you can learn from all people without necessarily agreeing with them. It means helping them boldly but humbly speak the truth, even if it makes them the object of scorn and hatred. And children don't want to be, you know, they want to fit in with the crowd. But if you're going to fit in with the crowd, you're going to go right down the drain. Because the God of this world does not promote the things of the God of the universe. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts," and that's where it has to start. You have to sanctify God in your heart. You have to give God a place in your heart where no one else is allowed to enter and no one else is allowed to touch. See? "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that you see."
No.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says that what? "Asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The reason why a person is going to ask you that is because they're going to observe your life. You know, I had a Norristown policeman come into my garage one day, very seriously come up to me while I was down on my knees sanding a quarter panel. He says, "Can I talk to you?" I says, "Go ahead." And he said, "I want what you have." That's what he said. And I got to witness to him. I was coming out of Carson's Paint Store on Waters and Main Street one day when a woman was going in and she looked at me. She says, "You're glowing." She says, "What is it about you?" And I got to witness to her and bring her to fellowship. See, people should see your life. And when they see your life, why are you so happy all the time? Why do you just roll with the punches all the time? How in the world are you able to handle all this and sit there without losing your hair? Sorry, Tuna. We must consistently practice love. And when I mean love, I mean God's love. Everybody loves love. They all talk about it. But few people recognize how incompatible love is with the new tolerance that's being taught in our country. Tolerance simply avoids offending someone. We must help our children live in love, which actively seeks to promote the good of another person. See, I don't want to offend someone. Let's just get along. Let's put our differences aside. Well, do you think that way when your two-year-old child is playing in your driveway up near the road?
No.
And the trucks are going down? I don't want to offend or hurt her feelings. And see, that's what tolerance does. You don't want to offend a person for putting a needle in their arm. You don't want to offend a person for being a homosexual. You don't want to offend a person for being a lesbian. You don't want to offend a person for being into bestiality, having a German shepherd for a sexual mate. That's what that means. I don't want to offend you. You know, if you understood the tribulation and the period called the day of the Lord and the wrath of the Lord, and just exactly what's going to happen during that period of time, you would not worry about offending someone and speaking Jesus Christ to them to give them a chance to escape that awful, awful, awful vengeance of our God in the future. Don't want to offend someone because I don't want to speak about Jesus Christ? What would you rather do? Offend them and give them the chance to be converted, or doom them to endure the day of wrath? Now, what's more loving? Okay, sure it is. But people don't think. Tolerance avoids offending someone. We have to teach our children, and we have to ourselves seek to promote the good of the other person to help them. Tolerance is the easy way out. Do whatever you want. It's okay. Be blessed. Walk down to the next classroom. Do whatever you want. It's okay. Your values are just as equal and just as valuable and important as the other. Be blessed. That's the easy way out. That's the non-confrontational way to get along in this world. Love, on the other hand, takes work. Because if you love a person, you know what you'll do? You'll confront them. And if you've been married and you're still married, you confront each other. You have hard bedroom talks sometimes. There's tears sometimes. There's anger sometimes. But you confront the individual because what they are doing is not working in your marriage. And you're confronting them because you want to maintain your covenant and preserve your marriage. If you just tolerate them, you know what you do? You get yourself a mistress or a mister. And you just play along. See, in order to make something the way God wants it made, the Bible has given us doctrine, reproof, and correction. You understand? There's three aspects of the word there. All those aspects have to be employed in an active church if it's going to function according to God's way. And in order for a church to function, sometimes, you know, sparks have to fly. Iron sharpeneth iron, and when iron sharpeneth iron, sparks fly. Or you know what you do? You tolerate it. You ignore it. You close your eyes to it. And then you got nothing but the book of Corinthians. When all that trash was going along, and then finally one person out of the whole damn church had to come along and says, what you're doing is not right. Should I glory and rejoice in this and praise you for this? No, he had to confront them and straighten them out. Why is it that the whole church was involved in it and only one person stood up? You know why? Because that's the way the world works. Because most people, honestly, most people don't like confrontation. Most people would sit there and listen to a bunch of garbage and walk away and say, oh, that person's nuts, instead of standing up and saying something and giving the individual a chance to repent. And another thing, if that goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on, when somebody does finally stand up and say something, you know what happens? This person has a habit for the last 50 years of opening their mouth, saying whatever they want, never being confronted. They say, who do you think you are confronting me? Perhaps if they were confronted the first time and the church kept itself clean the first time, you wouldn't have that problem, huh? But most of the time, it falls in the lap of the minister. And if the minister is worth his salt, he'll speak up. If he's not, he succumbed to the spirit of tolerance or compromise. And that does you no good either. Tolerance says, you must approve of what I do. Love responds, it says, I must do something harder. I will love you even when your behavior offends me. Do you ever hear hate the sin and not the sinner? Tolerance says, you must agree with me. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will tell you the truth because I am convinced the truth will set you free. Tolerance says, you must allow me to have my way. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will plead with you to follow the right way because I believe you are worth the risk. Tolerance seeks to be inoffensive by agreeing with everyone and everything. Love takes risks. Tolerance glorifies division. Love seeks unity. Tolerance costs nothing. It costs nothing to let a person do whatever they want, whenever they want, and not get involved in anything. Love costs everything. What did love cost God? Because he got involved. Because he didn't leave man to himself. And praise God for that. Tolerance is a doctrine that is preached when a society is changing its law order. See? You got to get from black and white. And it's just a step. It's a progression towards the end times. I don't know when the end times is. But I know we're closer to it now than we were 50 years ago. Okay? The Bible advocates intolerance of evil as a virtue. Patience with the weak, yes. Tolerance of wicked behavior, no. No. You can go through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and find that God polices His Word. In different administrations, different ways, but he wants it kept straight. A society that tolerates vice commits social suicide. Liberals preach tolerance until they come to power. But when liberals come to power, they become extremely intolerant of Christians. Tolerance is not love. Tolerance says, I don't care what you do. It's closer to hate than Christian love. Make no doubt, if they killed Jesus Christ, their feelings towards you will be no different. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." See? If you consider yourself a spiritual person, and you're talking to someone who is overtaken in a spiritual fault, your job, according to the Bible, is not to sit there and listen to them dump their mouth on you. Not to sit there and listen to all the garbage. Your job is to try to help to restore them. Do you understand? You know what most people do? They just sit there and listen. Even when they hear what they're saying is wrong, and they know what they're saying is wrong, they just sit there and listen because they don't want to be offensive, because most people don't like confrontation. They just don't like it. They want to get along with everybody. You can't get along with everybody. I didn't tell you to start a fight with anybody. Bible says that if a person's overtaken in the fault, if you consider yourself a spiritual person, restore that person. You know what it is to restore them? It's to bring them back to the Word. If you don't restore them, then you must not consider yourself a spiritual person. Now, there's a loving way to restore a person, but the fact of the matter is, do you try to restore? Or do you simply put up with it? Do you simply just give them a platform so they can get up on their soapbox and spew? It's not right. It's wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And that's where people miss it. I told you before, we're in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When people come to you and they speak things that are off the Word of God, your job is to help them recover themselves. And you're not going to help them by keeping quiet. You're not going to help them by not confronting them. In love, restore them. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They are in opposition to themselves. That's what they don't see, because the devil deceives them. And in the beginning, it's wonderful. But when you follow that down the line, it ends in destruction. That's where it ends. The doctrine of tolerance has been around for thousands of years. I want you to know that. Thousands of years. The devil resurrected it, and he spit it out, and he just spun it around for our day and our time. Whenever and wherever the doctrine of tolerance goes unchallenged and is allowed to flourish, it always brings death and destruction. See that? God showed me this week. I'm going to show it to you now. There it is. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's in the book of Judges. You know anything about the book of Judges? Start in the beginning. And when every man was right in his own eyes, and every value was okay, and everybody could do whatever they want, you know what happened? They got themselves in trouble. And then you know what God had to do? Raise up a judge. And then a little bit of time went by, and they went back to their old, oh, let's do everything, all values are good, all this, all that. And then you know what happened? Lots of people died. They got themselves in trouble. And what did God do? Raise up another judge. You know how many times this phrase occurs throughout the book of Judges? More than once. There, my friends, is the doctrine of tolerance. All values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal, because we want to do what we want to do independent of God. All of them equal. and you have no right to say anything against it. You don't say anything against that. You don't say anything against that if you want to be tolerant. You don't say anything against that. They're the future leaders of our country if the government gets its way. Progressive humanists control our public schools. Students are not taught to believe in absolutes, good and evil, right and wrong. All values, all religions, all moral choices must be respected. And since there are no absolutes, we are being asked to tolerate every choice people make in life, says the radical leftist college professors. Students are being taught to tolerate communists, Jewish Zionists who commit atrocities in the Middle East, Muslims who cut out the hearts of their enemies and eat them, and the mother who decides to murder the infant in her womb, the homosexual who can't keep his hands off male parts of other men and girls kissing in public. Josh McDowell, campus speaker, calls this negative tolerance, wherein collegians are being programmed not to condemn, criticize, or censor people's lifestyles. If you disapprove of someone else's sexual orientation, you are a bigot or a racist or some kind of sociopathic maniac. Publish your belief that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the media will mock and rip you to shreds. How dare you say that Christianity is the only true religion on this planet? You are a bigot and a racist pig. But it's worse than this. Negative tolerance has shifted to positive tolerance. Not only are college students taught to endure all kinds of truth claims, they are now being brainwashed with the ridiculous beliefs that valid intellectuals must affirm all kinds of moral choices. To affirm all truth claims as valid, that is, the supreme virtue, is not only to tolerate bad behavior and ridiculous truth claims, but to affirm and approve people's beliefs and lifestyle choices. We are being asked to applaud the mother who kills her baby because she wants to exercise her right, her feminist right. We are being told to applaud the sodomite who fondles 50 to 60 men a year, and the progressive leftist who says that communism is equal to capitalism. And if we do not positively approve of these waffle beliefs and perverted choices people make, then we are claimed as racist or called racist and bigot pigs. That's what our college campus is promoting today. We must aggressively practice the love of God. Only God's love lived out in the life of a believer will facilitate change. Tolerance simply avoids offending someone. We must ourselves and help our children live in love, which actively seeks to promote the good of another person. And God was the one who gave us the example. Back to Josh McDowell, he makes an interesting statement in one of his college talks. He goes to campuses and talks about this, has been for years and years and years. He says, I am unaware that a culture has never recovered from this kind of epistemological shift. In other words, this change that's going on. In his study, he's never seen a culture bounce back from it. It's an interesting statement. The final stage of decaying civilization is stated in the last verse of Romans, chapter 1. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure in them. The word pleasure in the Greek means they approve. They approve. The last rung on the ladder of cultural disintegration is not tolerance, but positive tolerance. It's the acceptance and approval of fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, political slander, hatred of the true God, insolence, pride, arrogance, and boastings, and inventors of evil. And that is in Romans 1, 29 and 30, where you accept it. You see, God made this whole thing, and he set it under law and order. And man, ever since the beginning, has been rebelling against God. Mankind, in general, is just a bunch of ungrateful, selfish SOBs. Everything that God has done for us. And then the ultimate, out of everything that God has ever done, the ultimate, he sends his son. And what his son went through, just so he could show how much he loves us. And we turn around and we thumb our nose at him. We want to make rules and regulations without him. We want to make rules and regulations contrary to his will. We rebel against the creator of the universe. That is arrogance and pride and stupidity. And it only comes from devil spirits. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." And that's where you have to draw a line. You cannot be compromised. You can't. You can love people, you can whatever, but you know what? Once you're compromised, it's going to take you right down the drain. I'm telling you. And you're going to wonder, how did I ever get here? And then you know what the devil does? This is what the devil does. When he gets you to that place, you know how he keeps you to that place? He embarrasses you. "Well, I can't do this, or I can't say I was wrong, or I can't say..." So you know what you learn to do? You learn to live a life of compromise, and you become ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you don't want to admit you were wrong. Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what you got to do. You know, if it said something else, I would read the verse differently. But it says you got to rebuke, you got to reprove, you got to exhort with all longsuffering. And you do it with doctrine. God has given us the right and the wrong way to do things. If we throw doctrine out and say we just want to get along for love's sake, you just threw God's word out. And you won't get along. Trust me. You'll become a lamb. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Speaking the truth in love, and we'll grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." And that's where we have to do. It's loving to tell a person, "Hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you." It's loving to tell a person, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" It's loving to tell a person, "The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. Let me show you." Instead of condemning that person, if this is the generation that's going to endure the wrath of God, to that wrath. Bible says that men are going to seek death and not find it in those days. That's how bad it's going to be. Salvation is free, but it is more valuable than anything in the world. See? You have to remember, you are the lights of the world. You have the ministry and the word of reconciliation. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? Don't let the devil water you down. You only have one life to live. You are all that God has to a hurting world, to a world full of rebellion, to a world full of rejection. You're it. Just you. Just me. That's what's working in this age of grace right now. Once the gathering together happens, 30 seconds after the gathering together happens, there will be no believers on the earth. Not one. Not one single believer will be left on the earth. The earth will be left to the devil. And he will have free reign. There will not be one believer left. So, you are all that God has for now. Don't get sidetracked with the things of life. The things of life, what are they compared to eternity? They're nothing. It's really nothing. Don't get discouraged. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get pulled away and going. You got to see the big picture. One single soul saved shall outlive and outweigh all the kingdoms of the world. Okay. So my exhortation to you this morning is this is what I say. Jesus is the only way. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. Those people might be good. They might not. I do not know any of them. But I do know Jesus Christ. And I know that if you want eternal life, you got to confess him as your Lord and Savior. You got to believe that God raised him from the dead. Because he's the only way. There is no other way. That's what I say. No tolerance. Jesus. Okay? So you love people. Speak up. Speak up. Yeah, you're going to get yelled at. Yeah, people are going to get angry. Yeah, you're going to be. But you know what? When you stand before the Bema, Jesus is going to say to you, hey, remember when you spoke my truth? Right on. That's what he's going to say.